Experienced a tremendous turnaround, and I wanted to remind you, so have we. And we're just getting started. And I really want to encourage you with that, that God is on the move and He wants to do something amazing. And part of that is just a new mentality that we're having about what's the church for? Okay, who are we here for? And who do we serve? And so we're going to get started with our Bible study here, but I wanted to show you that because I feel that it's important to see there's other churches experiencing greater levels of faith. And just me personally wanted to share some faith news. I sat together with a meeting with a group of brothers. They're called our tech ministry, and they're the ones that work on our website. They've got some tremendous plans. They're going to be doing some work on our website and making it even better. But one of the things that they came out with too is these are guys that all work in the industry of programmers and in different areas. And one of the things that they want to do is put together an app for your phone, either your iPhone or your Android or your smartphone, so that you can get to our website pretty easy. Another app that would have the Core 4 right there. And you just hit the app, boom, there's your Core 4 right there on your phone. Take it wherever you want. So this is the wave of the future, to make it super easy to have the Word of God right there at your fingertips, so you can share it no matter where you are. All you got to do is have your phone, and you can do a Bible study with somebody right there, even a young Christian. So I was very inspired by that. These guys are totally volunteers. They want to do it for free, and they want to help our church. They want the Word to go out. A lot of what's happened on the website, too, is people in different places are watching our services online, watching the lessons online, and it's really, really helped their faith. Even Josh Peterson's sister was in Sacramento. She wasn't going to church, so she watched our services particularly. She's single. She was watching the Love, Sex, and Dating series. Yet got her attention. She went through the whole series and said, you know what? I got to move. I got to get to a place where I can get right with God and get this teaching. And I believe she's still studying the Bible. So, you know, that's what we can do if we just continue to believe and see God work through technology, through our faith. I spoke with Josh Peterson yesterday. He sends his love to you guys. And they had their first baptism of 2012, which is great already. And, you know, one of the things that he shared is that, you know, the faith that he received that we worked on for a couple of years, he wants to pass on, and is fully convinced that God's going to do something amazing there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So he sends his love. So we're going to dive in here to our study. If I could get you guys, Tom and Phil, if you could pass out our notes. This sheet's going to be posted on the website. It's probably our last edit. We may do one or two more, but this is kind of our last edit of the Core 4. What I'm going to show you tonight is a PowerPoint. We're going to put this up on the website also, so you can download the PowerPoint if you want to do. And I did this last year with our study series. I put together PowerPoints, and I would do the PowerPoints from my laptop with people that I'm studying the Bible with. That helped the Bible studies to move through a little bit more quickly and fluid, instead of having to show them in the Bible. You reference it. Hey, we believe in the Bible. Here it is. But anytime you're studying the Bible, people's time is precious. Your time is precious. So you want to spend it in the Word, and then they can go back over it. But these sheets will also be available on the website. You can download them, print them, and hand a copy to your friends when they're studying the Bible. It's kind of like their take-home notes. Instead of handwriting, you got it right there. You can also write, you know, some personal notes. So we're going to make this available to you on the website also. So we're going to get started with Core 4, the first study, the Word of God. And kind of to hit last week real quickly, why the 4? Why Core 4? Well, it basically goes back to our study that we did the Sunday before last, that we looked at Acts chapter 15 and verse 19, where James, the brother of Jesus, stood before all the elders in Jerusalem. It was the early church. The church had been in existence about 20 years. And they came to a really significant decision, as it had to do with the evangelization of not just Judea and Palestine, but the far-reaching areas, because the word was getting out. Paul had already been on his first missionary journey, and he was about to go on his second. So the word was getting out. It was spreading like wildfire, and mostly into Gentile areas, people that were not Jews. And this is what he stood up in the meeting after the debate. Should the Gentiles have to get circumcised and become Jews first before they become Christians? And they were trying to basically put people's Christianity or their new walk in a box and get them to conform and get them to do all the rules. 613 laws and rules that they had to obey, plus circumcision. For the men. So they weren't very fired up. Imagine that. You're going to study the core four and say, okay, before we study the Bible, we got to take care of some business. That wouldn't fire them up very much. But this is what James said as he stood up before the leadership group. And he said, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. This scripture last year rocked me. And I said, you know what? How complicated is it for somebody who's married with children to do the Bible studies and make the decision to get right with God? At that time we had 8, plus we would sit down and count the costs. And people had to do and then make sure, and if you didn't, you know. And man, it was very complicated sometimes for people to get right with God, who are turning to God. And you read through the book of Acts, I'd encourage you this year, go through the book of Acts and ask yourself, was it that complicated? And we're not talking about making it easy. It is not easy to follow Jesus. You basically have to turn over everything. And we deal with that in this core four studies. You have to turn yourself in. But at the same time, it shouldn't be complicated. It should be real clear. So this is why we're doing this. It should not be complicated. It needs to be clear, crystal clear. What if you've never read the Bible before in your life? Really? Taking any time? It should still be clear. And then the third thing is, it can be done in a few days. If somebody wants to get right with God, we have to be able to make it available to them in a short amount of time. Hey, you can do this. Now is the time. Instead of 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and then things change. And I actually I studied the Bible in a week and a half. I actually studied the Bible in a week, and then took 3 days to figure out whether I should wait for my parents to come and visit and be there at the baptism. And I realized, you know, I've put God off long enough. They will see the pictures. They will hear the good news. I got to do this now. Because they were out of town. They were over in Europe somewhere. Can't wait on them. Love them. Respect them. Want them to be here. But they couldn't. So I shared about them. And let me tell you, the change is what they appreciated. And then just to remind you, these Bible studies, this isn't the whole Bible. They're 4 Bible studies. They are tools. Okay? Well, my favorite scripture is not in here. Okay? You know, I appreciate you and your favorite scripture. But these are tools. You can throw it in. Okay? But you got to ask yourself, is the Bible study for you or is it for your friend? And that's the mentality that we tried to have, is when we do these Bible studies, they're not for us, they're for our friends. And we want them to connect with God. That is the goal of this study series. So we call it the Core Four, and all the ministries in our church are doing this. The lads are doing it in the back. The teens are doing it. The campus, the singles, they did it last night. So this is what we're doing. And so before we dive into the study, a couple things that I want to talk to you about when you study the Bible with somebody. Your friendship with them is very important. This is not information. This is you connecting person to person. And let me tell you, God has always used people and relationships to connect Him with those people that are looking for Him. It's not information. Okay, and we're excited. Wow, I got some new information. Trust me, it is not the information. It is you. It is you that transmits this information. It is you are a special person, and you can be a special friend, a special relationship, like nobody else in the church. You can be anointed by God to help that particular person in a very, very special way. And so in this, it's not sharing information. What I also want you to mix in with these Bible studies is your personal testimony. Okay? Not too much, but just enough. You mix it together. How did this scripture help you at that point in time? And you may not want to share that with every verse that we look at and every scripture that we look at, but there are a couple that, hey, maybe this was your favorite scripture and this is the scripture that really helped you when you were in that place. Your testimony is what grabs people. What do you want to hear? Information when you come to church, or you want to hear a story about somebody's life? That's what grabs you. Is when you hear somebody's life and you go, man, I identify with that. Or, yeah, I appreciate that. And that's your story. That's what Paul the Apostle, with, you know, wealth of knowledge, biblical knowledge, history. What did he share when he got up and stood before, you know, governors, kings? What did he share? He shared his life. He shared his experience. He shared his transformation. He shared his conversion. And then some other stuff from the Bible. So I want you to have that in your heart, in your mind, when you study the Bible with somebody. So here we're going to jump in and the word study. How important is the word? This study is designed, it's right there in the purpose of the study. This study is designed to show you how the Bible applies to your life. So we'll begin. If you have your Bible, we don't have them up on the screen. We're going to look at the first verse, which is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And this is a promise that God gave Israel when they turned away, wherever they are, when they're separated from Him. And at this particular time, they were separated from Him. And this is a promise that He passes out to everybody. Who does God want to get saved? Everybody. Is there favoritism one way or another? No. God wants all men to be saved. Every single person. And the person that you're studying with, you can tell them, this is for you. It was for Israel in its context, but this is for you. God's heart has not changed. And we read here in verse 11 of chapter 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And the point here, the first point out of the box, is that God has plans for you. If I were studying the Bible here with Ted, you know, I'd say, Ted, God has plans for your life. Because a lot of people, and you need to understand this, it's very, very important. A lot of people don't feel like God has any place or part or plan in their lives. Just that means so much. Yeah. I mean, it meant the world to me to know, hey, God has been working in my life to bring me closer to Him. He has a plan for me. Yes, for all of us, but for me specifically. And then the question is, do you have faith in God's plan for your life? And you want to give them a chance to share. And wherever they are, yes, I do. Or no, I don't. I feel like I've let God down. I feel like I'm too far out there. I feel like... And that's where you can share your own stuff. You know, not for an hour. Not for you know, just you know, share your testimony and keep the study moving. That's very, very important. And then it says here, the second point is seek God and He can be found. And this is where you talk about, you know, what you did and how you went after God. Okay, where you started to set aside some time where you could pray to Him and you could talk to Him. What was it before and what was it after? I usually share with people that when I started studying the Bible, I'd get up a lot earlier before class when I was in college. And I would go off and I would pray. And I remember reading the Gospel of Luke when I was studying the Bible. I remember it, and I remember going under a tree right off of campus and sitting there and reading, and I felt God was speaking to me. And then I would close the Bible, and I said, man, this is incredible. I never read the Bible this way. And now I got some things to take with me. And then I would talk to God. You know, not as I was raised, you know, the structured prayer and the Lord's Prayer, and you say it and you just go through it 10 times. No, me talking, expressing my heart to God. When I started doing that, everything changed. And that's when my heart started to swell, you know, with God's presence. And so that's what He wants. That's what He's been waiting for. And what does it look like to seek God with your whole heart? And again, this is you. What's been your experience? What made the difference when you did whatever you did? And so that's very important. Then Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and we're going to look in verse 26. And this was Paul on a missionary journey. He was talking to Greeks here, people that were not Jews. They had all kinds of philosophies and ideas about God. And just like today, there are many ideas out there. There's a lot of superstition in the city of Athens, Greece, the city that still stands today. But he was at a particular temple, a place where they had these religious discussions. And he got a chance to share publicly with all these people. And this is what he said in chapter 17, verse 26. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. This is huge. What was Paul telling the people there in Athens?
They belong to him.
Yes. And this is the question right after this verse, and you can ask your friend. I'm asked Ted. Ted, do you believe that God has set times and places so that people can seek him? What do you think about that? And you want to draw people out in these Bible studies. You want to draw them out and say, okay, where's your faith? Do you believe that God has been orchestrating things in your life and giving you opportunities to seek him, to know him? And so there's where you want to have some back and forth. And then the point here is God wants to be found by you. Isn't that awesome? It's not a maybe. He does. He wants to be found by you. He's been throwing you bones for a long time. Here I am. He's been knocking at your door. He's been moving your life. And many of the people who you're going to study with, they're going through stuff like Lavelle's friend. You know, he came to church a couple times, but he, you know, drifted off. People are in that situation. I was in that situation. God had been knocking on my door for 10 years. And then he kicked the door down and there was no more door. And I said, okay, God, that's it. I turned myself in. I asked my sister to study the Bible. She didn't ask me. Well, she'd done it for 10 years. But I came to the conclusion, hey, I want to study the Bible. Will you study the Bible with me? And I said, let's do it every day. And that's where people are at. That's where people are at right now. And you can be that instrument to help them. And so in this Bible study, I want to give you confidence also that God wants to use you to help these people see this. So God wants to be found by you. All right, so let's dig in. Let's go look at the Bible and see what it's good for. Okay? The Bible's incredible. This is where you can share later in the study about how it's helped you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Awesome verse. And this is, you know, you tell your friends, this is where the Bible begins to describe itself. What it can do for you. In verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Question here you ask is, all Scripture is, it's a point, not a question. All Scripture is inspired by God. That's what makes the Bible different. It's not another book. That's what the Bible is saying about itself. It is not, you know, an author, that this really great guy and really inspired, enlightened. This is, there aren't many books that say that about itself. That's what sets the Bible apart. And then the question is, what is Scripture useful for? Okay, and he goes through here and says that it's useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, a strong correction, correcting and training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the way that this happens is daily application of the Bible. It will equip you for a righteous life. That life that we've all been wanting to live, that we haven't been living, that we're frustrated with ourselves, we're angry with ourselves, we're hardened, we're indifferent, we're cynical. That life you've been wanting to live. The Bible can equip you for that. And this is where you can share about what a difference the Bible's made. You know, in your marriage, in your life, in your parenting. Whatever it is. How it's really helped you. For me personally, it was the thing that helped me to be a gentleman. I looked up and respected my dad. Because he was a gentleman. I wasn't. I was the furthest thing from it. The Bible helped me to have hope and teach me how to be a gentleman. Again, how to treat women with respect. How to be a man that I could respect myself. And it taught me, gave me specific tools on how to do that. So we jump to the next scripture. And then after this, I'm going to have Laura come up and she's going to share a few tips on Bible studies. She studied the Bible with a lot of women. Okay? And so I thought it'd be appropriate for the women to hear from somebody who studied the Bible with a lot of people. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Now I got to share here, this is my favorite. This is my favorite scripture. Okay, I got lots of them, but this is a big one. This is up there in the top 10. It changes every now and then, but this has stayed up there. Hebrews chapter 4. Why? Because the Bible is so powerful. Verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give an account." And the first question is the Bible active in your life? And more than likely, what's the answer to that to the person that you're studying with? Probably not. But you just ask the question. Ted, has the Bible been active in your life? And for me, you know, it was very easy. No, it wasn't. I really didn't know. And I wanted it to be. And this is what the Bible's saying about itself. It's powerful. It's alive. It's active. Okay? And then the question here again is, how is the Bible like a sword? That's what the scripture's saying about itself. It's like a sword. Think about the first century. Think about somebody. Put yourself in that time, in that place. What did that mean? And basically the sword, what it did with people in a physical sense is it opened them up. It almost, whoa, that's a lot. I'm seeing it all at once. But it opened them up. What the Bible does is the same. It opens us up. It exposes us. You can see the joints. You can see the heart. You can see your intentions. You can see your true character, your true colors, who you are. A lot of people are afraid of that. But you can't really change, you can't really make any progress until you deal with the real you. You know, and that's what it is. And we always like to use this example here is to talk about for today's vernacular, it would be like a scalpel. A scalpel we would use in surgery to take out the cancer, to take out the thing that needs to change in your life. And the Bible helps us to see who we are. And then the final point here is we will each have to give an account. If you're afraid to know who you are, there's a reason we need to know now. Because eventually it's going to come out. Eventually it's going to be out there in front of everyone who you really are. In front of God most of all. So we're all doing ourselves a favor. We're coming clean now. We're actually getting to know ourselves now. Okay, so I'm going to have Laura come up. She's going to share a little bit for the women about some tips on studying the Bible with other women. And then we'll continue our Bible study.
Thank you. Okay, it's great to be here. I'm really excited that we can do this, the Core 4. I just wanted to share first that we moved to Brazil when we were about 5 months married many years ago. And I did not speak Portuguese, and I studied the Bible with women there. You might ask, why? How could you do that? The Bible is the same in every language, and it goes through cultures, it goes through language barriers. I just want to encourage you that your testimony is powerful, but the Word of God is what changes people. So I would use my English Bible, they would use their Portuguese Bible, and people became Christians. And they would read the scriptures, and it was awesome. So I just want to encourage you with that, that it brings great joy when you see God using your life, no matter what language or culture it is. The same happened in Bogota, Colombia. I didn't know Spanish at first. I had to learn that. And in Mexico City, I was not Latina. So God will work through you, through the Holy Spirit. Someone asked me, they said, I'm really nervous about only 4 studies because what if we don't prepare people well? You know, we've studied with people for 1 week and they're still faithful. We've studied with people for 9 months and they're not faithful. So I just want to encourage you, the amount of time you study with people doesn't necessarily determine. It's really the heart of the person, and they're getting an amazing opportunity if they can do these 4 studies. And you can definitely do more. So just a couple of tips for the women. Women, we're very good at sharing our testimony, but in our case, we may need to share it a little less. Because women what I notice when I'm in studies with women is that we read the scripture and then we just start talking, and it doesn't necessarily have to be related to the scripture. It really doesn't. We just start talking and talking and talking, and oh yeah, there was a scripture we read about 10 minutes ago. So I just want to encourage you, after you read the scripture, sisters, ask the woman, what did you get from that? What did you learn from that? Instead of going on your, and then just you can, you know, add a little bit to it, and you could share some from your life. Another thing that happens is it's very difficult for some people to even set up a study. Like we have to be courageous and not be fearful about just asking, would you like to study the Bible? Once we do one study, it seems like 4 weeks go by before we do another one. It's very important once you do one, after you finish it, to set up when will the next one be? When can we get together again? It sounds like a simple tip, but it doesn't happen. It really doesn't happen. Another thing is we have to be persistent and encouraging and flexible. A lot of times we think, well, they don't have any time, because every time I want to do it, they're not available. And I want to share about my neighbor really briefly. We lived in Orange County, and she was 45, PhD, and in pharmacology and chemistry, and she was Buddhist. She was Asian and Buddhist. And she does not have a lot of time. So my schedule revolved around when she could do it. I mean, we studied at all different times. You know, I was sharing with Sochi, or Sochi was sharing about Judy Mena, that Sochi would share with her, study the Bible with her at midnight, because that's the only time that Judy was available, because she was working 2 jobs and she was going to school. So I just want to encourage you. I had to do that with my friend in Irvine, and she became a disciple. And her husband, who was American and a dentist, they both got baptized on the same day. After she studied like a year, he studied only 4 months, and they both are still faithful, and they're great disciples or Christians in the Orange County region. So I just want to encourage you, when someone says yes, you have to be persistent, you have to move the study along, and you have to be flexible with your schedule. We're the ones that need to be sacrificial. We're the ones that need to go, okay, if you can do it at 6 a.m., I'm willing to do it at 6 a.m. Where sometimes we're like, no, they can't do it, because I can only do it at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, and they're not available. You know, so we need to really think about that. The last thing is, in this particular study, the Word, it's really important that we also ask sisters at the end, do you want to use the Bible as your standard? Do you really want to go not by your emotions, not by your feelings, but by God's Word? And that is something that a lot of women say, yes, yes, I want to. But they have to really ask themselves, and I tell them, don't make a quick decision, think about it. Do you want to use the Bible as your standard? So I just want to encourage you with those things. And if anyone has any more questions for me, they can ask me later. But that's the main things with this study. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. Okay. You still with me, Lavelle? Long day, huh? Come on, bro. Okay. So we're going to move on to the next verse. And so this is the end of Hebrews chapter 12 of chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. We will all have to give an account. And God wants to do us the favor. He wants you to know first, up front, what's the need in your life. He wants to help you. But it's up to us whether we want to be open and honest with ourselves. All right, so we move to John chapter 3, or John chapter 8, verse 31. John 8, verse 31. And this is a great verse for people who are believers. A lot of people in our community are believers. But Jesus had to clarify what is belief. In verse 31, it says, "To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" And so the first question here is, did the Jews believe in Jesus? Yeah, obviously. But the second question is, did they really believe in Jesus? And he had to make a distinction here. There's two types of belief. There's an intellectual belief, and then there's the belief that Jesus talked about right here. And what is that? What did he say here? He says, "If you hold to my teaching," that's a whole other level of belief. And that's a belief where you actually practice and you actually do what you believe. So believing, as Jesus describes it here, is you've got to really be my disciples, really be my followers. And you and I know, Ted, you and I know that there are a lot of people out there that say they're Christians. But then you watch them and you go, that don't look like a Christian to me. Doesn't sound like a Christian to me. Right? And we don't want to judge, but it's obvious. Bible, them, no, I don't see it. I thought I was a Christian before because I believed. You know, we think, believe. And you can look at your life and say, how does your life resemble Jesus? Okay, and it's not perfection, but it is a question of, are you really trying your very best to live the life? And then here's the positive thing. And the point here is, real disciples believe and obey Jesus' teaching. But one of the positive things here in verse 32 is, then you'll know the truth, and what? The truth will set you free. Free from guilt. Free from confusion. What do I got to do? It's pretty simple. It's right here in front of me. Okay, I know what I have to live. I know what I have to do. And I can get help from other people around me. Okay, and Jesus didn't come to make it difficult. He came to make it simple. In Matthew chapter 7, and here's where we'll close out. Matthew chapter 7. In verse 21. It says here, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And we read on in verse 24. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rains came down, and the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And this is a great description of my life, before and after. Even now, as I go through challenges. But the question here is, will everyone enter heaven? That's a hard question. What does Jesus say? No. And he breaks it down. Who will enter heaven? Who's going to make it? It's not a mystery. Well, let God judge. Well, it says it right here. Okay, if you want to know, it says it right here. Who will make it? Who will enter heaven? Only he who does the will of my Father. And how do I know what his will is? It's right here. And you have the opportunity to start knowing what God's specific, just like when we start the Bible study, this is where you bring it to the end. God has plans for your life. You want to know what those plans are? Let me encourage you to start reading the Bible. And then you can know for yourself. You don't have to wait to do the Bible studies with me all the time. You don't have to know all the time what God's will is for your life on church on Sunday. You can know every day, all week long, 365 days of the year. You can know in the morning, and then you can read at night. You can know all the time. You can get to know what God's will is for your life. Isn't that awesome? And you can have it on your phone. There's Bibles for your phone. There's Audible Bibles. There's Bibles everywhere. We're saturated with the Bible. Because God wants us to know His will for our lives. And then the points here is, the one who has a relationship with God and practices His will. This verse that he says here in verse 23, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. See, the Bible's not, it's not about a to-do list. It's meant to be practiced in a relationship. And this is huge. This is huge to mention this point. A lot of people like to conform to rules for living. And they miss the point, like we talked about on Sunday. It's about the relationship. What did Jesus say? Come follow who? Come follow these rules? What did He say? Come follow Me. That's what God wants. He wants a relationship, you and Him. You and God. And so, in the practice, and I've seen this happen a lot with a lot of people, they try to practice the Bible, but they do it as if it were a list of rules. Instead of, hey, this is my dad telling me how to live my life, and if I want to have a relationship with him, I'm going to practice these things as a relationship. Just like you would in a marriage, just like you would in a family, just like you would in a friendship. If I want a friendship with Kevin, then obviously what Kevin is wanting from me as a friend, I'm going to do that. But it's not about doing what Kevin wants. It's about me and him have a friendship, and it's give and take. Right? And that's what Jesus is emphasizing here. I never knew you. It wasn't about a relationship. It was about you. You did this for you. And that was what was going on during Jesus' time. And then the last point is, build your foundation on Jesus' Word. Hey, our world is moving a lot. We're living in a time of you know, a recession. The times are hard. People are out of work. How about in Abidjan? You know, 80% unemployment. Are we living that here? I know it's bad, but it's not Abidjan, is it? I mean, you see these brothers and sisters, they're jumping around in church and they're dancing in church. We need to do a little bit more of that because it's not that bad here. But, you know, what's our spirit? How do they do that? How are they so excited? How are they so happy? How are they so grateful? Because they've got a foundation. And that can make all the difference. So Ted, kind of wrapping this study up with you, I want to encourage you to make God's Word, Jesus' Word, the foundation in your life. And so, faith and action. These are the action points. I want to give you a couple things to run with, Ted, here is, begin a lifestyle. I want to encourage you. This was a game changer for me when I studied the Bible. Begin a lifestyle of reading the Bible and praying every day. It makes a huge difference. And not as a to-do, Ted, as an initiation, an invitation to God being a part of your life. That you would invite Him into your life, and you would accept His invitation to be a part of His world and His Word. So, are you open to doing that, Ted?
Yes.
You've got a lot of people around here that are encouraging you to say yes. And you can make a suggestion. It's right here to read the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of John. Okay? And then the last point here is try to apply what you read each day to try to apply it. For further study, you know, there's some people that would like to look at some different scriptures that are related to this Bible study. They're right here on the bottom. Okay? Any questions that you guys have, we'll open it up for this Bible study. Is this too complicated?
No.
Too hard? Think you can do this?
Yeah.
All right, so I want to encourage you. We're gonna put the study aside. I want to encourage you, okay, in the next few weeks, to try these Bible studies out. Okay?
Amen.
I believe God can use you to do the Word study with somebody. Okay? As Laura shared, you might need to change your schedule a little bit. Sergio was sharing on Friday night at our faith group, he shared about his Bible studies with Robert. Remember? Way back when? When were those Bible studies? It was late, right? Because you guys were very busy. And so were they, but they were willing to do it really late. That encouraged me so much. because they were willing to study the Bible a little later because of their schedule. Guess whose life has changed? Theirs, their kids, and Lord willing, in a few years, there may be some grandkids on the way. Not yet, right? Easy. I'm mentioning all of this to you because of this. You have no idea what 1, 2, 3, 4 Bible studies can do in someone's life. You don't know how far this could go. Generation after generation, neighbor to neighbor. The church in Bogota, Colombia, we started with 11 people. In a few years, it was 1,400 members. Families, people, lives. L.A. Church, 20 people out of 6,000. You know, we're 500 now. Do you have the vision and the faith that God could use us to help and saturate our community with the Word to change people's lives? People need it. Let me tell you, there is a cry for help right now. And you are God's chosen instrument. Let's close out with a prayer. God bless you. Have a great week. And we'll see you on Sunday for our part 2 of our simple series. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you that we still have your Word, that it didn't get lost in all the wars and all the craziness that went on in the 3rd and 4th and 5th century. God, thank you that we still have your Bible. And we pray that you'll help us to use it for our lives, but most of all for the people around us, so they can have the opportunity that we have to put it into practice. God, we love you. We're so thankful that you came here to make it simple, not complicated. How to follow you, how to have a relationship with you, and we pray that we will, God, even here in this room, take advantage and make sure that our relationship with you is close. That we'll walk with you, God, and we'll pray to you just like we did in the beginning. For our friends that are here with us, God, inspire them that you have plans, specific plans for their lives. We love you. Bless the rest of our week. Be with us and help those that are in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you.
See you next week.